Football Friday.
Malik Reed, who douses Patrick Mahomes. He goes galloping into the secondary. It's picked off on the play. It's Sorensen.
Let Chris Ice can be out here doing what we do anyway. So.
And the Bulldog put the nail in the coffin.
I thought we competed hard, but I thought we made far and away too many mistakes.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday is here. Ready to rock and roll. There they are. They showed up a little late. Would you miss the bus? Susan and Cheryl back in studio, better than ever. Had a rough night last night watching that Rams-Bulldogs game. Whew. You know, there's a part of me, Colfax, that wants to just do the whole, oh, it's early, it's Adazio's first game. But when you look at his history, he's a 7-6 guy. So he wants this is going to be the new Boston College for him. I mean, the interior offensive line I thought was unique. Remember I said this yesterday? I said the interior portion of this offensive line, three guys are transfers from Boston College. And even the broadcaster says that's crazy. We haven't quite seen anything quite like that. Where an entire position group, you know, starting of the starting five, more than half of them are transfers from Boston College. That was a rough one. Pillow fight, Dan. Air it out, my friend. I get it. I propose that alums get reparations for the performance we had to sit through last night. And so, I mean, that answers the question. When I asked yesterday, do you expect the Rams to have a winning season in 2020? Or do you look at it as new year, new staff, new vibes, new everything? Based on Twitter, based on what I've received, is, yeah, you want to win now. You want to have a couple wins. I don't know, man. I where are you getting them? Because one of them canceled. One of them smoked you. I said the Rams would probably go 2-0 to start this thing out. Now, here we are, 0-1. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, Broncos related. Are you confident in the current direction of the Denver Broncos, or would you like to see a total rebuild? I'm still confident. Tank and retool. So that's like tank this year. Maybe go for, Trevor Lawrence or something like that, which, by the way, he has COVID, so he'll be missing this week. Or do you go from top to bottom, you rebuild the whole thing. You tear down the very foundation that is the Broncos, which is John Elway. 54% of the Hooligans say from top to bottom, rebuild the whole damn thing. I'm done. And I'm not there yet. You got four big weeks to prove that what you're doing is going to work. And after the 4 weeks, if you come out on the negative side, then we're in trouble. If you lose to the Chargers, I mean, this is a team that's about like you. You're going to be in a bad spot. 36% of the Hooligans say, hey, I'm still confident. So that's second place. Only 9% saying they want to tank and retool. So it's kind of like the Rockies. Sad the Broncos are like that now. I think that if you're a Rockies fan, Mark told us this, Mark Knutson said, you know what, get ready because it's going to be another bad year. Because they're not going to make any moves. They're not going to do anything. I mean, they paid Daniel Murphy, I guess. They bought him out. Paid him $6 million. That's frustrating. That's the move. The move I think Rockies fans want to see is fire Jeff Breidich, rebuild from the management side, keep some of the pieces. Broncos fans, I think you're starting to wonder. Noob. Yeah, I expect the Rams to have a winning record. Nico is a great coach. Oh, wait, wrong sport. Yeah, Nico's going to be great. Nico Medved is sensational. Love that guy. What, two seasons and already growing? No, Rams, you're good there. Basketball's going to be great in this area. Nobody's worried about that. I question this hire on the CSU side. I question the hire. But I'll admit, we talked to Adazio over the summer. Was it March? It was before all this hit, I think. And I was in. I loved that interview. I had a great time with that interview. I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. Since then, it's hard to get him on. That's not, It's not uncommon. It's tough during the season, but we would still try to get Coach Bobo on. Plus, they got a lot of Thursday games, so everything's condensed. But, you know, I get it. They were under investigation. I don't know that the coaching staff particularly trusts anybody outside of the program, which is kind of understandable, but it's a quick way to not grow your program. But last night, you know, we get to see, okay, all that aside, all the investigations aside, all the playing it close to the chest aside, let's see what the team's all about, because everything is forgiven when you win in sports. That's just the way, most of the time, that's just the way it goes. Just ask Antonio Brown. He's, you know, he's that good of a player, so they are going to give him a shot. And look out. I picked the Bucs to go to the Super Bowl. I only feel better about that. But what we saw on the field last night, you know, Trey McBride's good. We already knew that. Want to see Donte Wright. Would that have made a difference? I mean, the guy is the difference maker. He's a playmaker, at least based on his rookie or his freshman year. So, yeah, might have helped a little bit. It's hard for me to say one guy makes up that many points, but maybe. Last night, I think we mainly walked away with more question marks surrounding Colorado State, surrounding the quarterback position, surrounding the defense. Defense was bad, especially in that second half. Got worse as the night went on. The run game, what really wasn't strong. You know, and your guys, Todd Senteo, who started quarterback, ran the ball well, which was fun, but couldn't throw that great. I mean, he was 10 for 23, 10 completions, Colfax, for 141 yards. Missed a wide open Marcus McElroy in the flats, would have had a touchdown. That might have changed things. That would have, instead of giving you three in the first, you'd be tied at seven. Feeling better about yourself. You score a touchdown, it's a confidence thing. You know you can do it. It's like seeing the ball go in the hoop. Now you know it can go. Now, okay. All right, now we're rolling. First Advantage text line, 31996-31996. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Would you like to see the Broncos tear it all down? For me, I'm not there. I know there are a lot of people that are already there that are talking about, oh, this isn't going to work. Brady, I'm hoping for a 6-win season. Yeah, but your offseason didn't spell that. You know, that your offseason didn't tell us that you were hoping to just kind of grow this year. Yes, it's a test year for Drew Lock, but I don't want to see a 5-6 win season. We've done this enough. My patience is running. Somebody texted the show the other day. Broncos fans are spoiled. Can't put up with it. I mean, you want to see a winning team, and since Peyton Manning, you haven't seen that. I mean, every year we progress, it's getting easier and easier to look back and say, boy, without that Peyton Manning move, which again, I credit to Elway, and then the building around it, he did a great job. But even before that, the Broncos were 8-8 with Tim Tebow. They won the AFC West, but that year, I believe the West was the worst division in all of football. They won a playoff game. So you can't take that away from them. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, Broncos fans, maybe you're spoiled, but you're not used to this. You're not used to, how many seasons now have we gone without playoffs? 3, 4, will this will be the fifth if we miss? Because Kubiak and two with VJ and one with Vic. Yeah, you'd be going on 5. And not just missing playoffs, other than Kubiak's last year, you've been below 500, losing seasons. And that's something you're not used to. Yeah, we could say we're spoiled, fine. But the thing is, these moves that Elway is making, they don't make sense to us at the time, and surprise, surprise, they don't work out. 14 minutes after the hour, we're going to sidestep here, Colfax. We want to get on the line with Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network, a great Broncos insider. We'll ask him the question we ask every week. What does the film show, both for the Broncos defense we'll focus on, and, you know, what can we expect from this Chargers team, and how can the Broncos get a win, a third win, over the weekend? 14 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Batman. From UNC, CU, and CSU to the Nuggets, Rockies, and Broncos. The Hull Show is Colorado's sports talk show on 1310 KFKA and 1310KFKA.com. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here today on this Friday, this day before a big Halloween. Hope you'll be safe out there, whatever it is you're going to be doing. Cody Rourke joining us now. He's our Broncos insider, of course, media talent for Pro Football Network. Cody, my friend, always appreciate this. And again, love breaking down a Broncos-Chargers game with you here coming up.
Yeah, very excited to be here. Happy Friday. 48 hours away from kickoff, gentlemen. I am super, super excited.
Boy, and Cody, this one's a big game, isn't it? You want to see the Broncos get that bad taste out of their mouth after a rough one against Kansas City. Some good things to take away from that Chiefs game, but overall couldn't get the job done, and it left us with a lot of question marks surrounding the offense.
Yeah, you know, the offense probably turned in, despite the fact that they were able to put up over 400 yards offense, they probably turned in one of their worst performances from an execution standpoint that we've seen all year. And for Drew Locke, he had arguably his worst game as a pro. So, you know, looking back at that, going back and watching the tape, just so many missed opportunities offensively for Denver. And you know what? The defense played very, very good against Kansas City. I mean, about as well as you could ask anybody. I think they did a really good job. And it's just unfortunate that you had blunders on special teams on the offensive side of the ball. It put the Broncos defense in a very bad situation consistently throughout last Sunday. So now, got a short turnaround. Now you got the Los Angeles Chargers. They're red hot in terms of their offensive production, over 30-plus points per game. The last three matchups, over 400 yards per game of offense. They are top 10 in the National Football League altogether. They're top five as an offense right now. So the Broncos, it's going to be a tough matchup. I'm very excited.
So, Cody, talk to us about Drew Locke. Obviously, this is an interesting time. This is, I think, a big moment in his early career because, you know, I think when he was drafted and then last year, there was a lot of excitement around Drew. This week, it certainly feels like maybe the tone has changed a little bit. Talk to us about what you saw in film that Drew Locke was doing so differently than what we saw at the end of last season.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I saw with Drew was just last year in the final five games, he was stepping up in the pocket and he was making throws. He was setting his feet. He was throwing across the middle of the field. Now, you know, against Kansas City, we saw a different kind of Drew Locke. He likes to drift out of the pocket to his right side, even in the clean pocket. That, to me, was a little concerning for Denver. And not to mention that, too, he's missing the reads. You know, he's taking the deep shot rather than, you know, maybe the 4 to 5 yard route that's open that can keep the drive alive by picking up a first down on third and short. Got to be able to find the guys that are open. And if you do get a one-on-one matchup, yeah, take advantage of it, but don't try to take a deep shot downfield where there's two safeties, two guys in coverage on third and four. That's just not a good formula for long-term success, and it, you know, gets the Broncos off the football field. They've got to build their identity offensively, in my opinion, by running the football. And if they can avoid you know, mistakes that get them down by double-digit scores early on, they can run the football, and then they can open things up as well. So those are the things we kind of saw, a little bit of regression of his mechanics, his progressions, his reads. He kind of took a step back on Sunday, so now this is a big game for him on Sunday against Justin Herbert, who is lighting it up right now at the quarterback position. That's going to be the talk of this Sunday.
Yeah, the quarterback. This battle here is interesting. Obviously, division, but we're going to have to deal with Justin Herbert for a very, very long time. So I think Broncos country would love to see Drew Locke outmatch him in this one. So what is it then with Drew Locke? What clicked? What changed? Was he trying to do too much? He's just constantly trying to go for the big play. Is this something that Pat Shurmur kind of wanted to see on the offensive side? Or, you know, because again, everything that you mentioned, just so uncharacteristic of what we saw at the end of last season. What exactly do you think was going through Drew Locke's head last Sunday?
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's, you know, for Locke, you know, Drew, we've seen two of his worst games as a pro come against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not like the Chiefs are doing something special against him defensively. It was the fact that I think he just overthinks. He's trying to do too much, and it's certainly playing out that way on the film. Now, you know, like I said, it goes back to basics. It goes back to fundamental footwork, eyes, being able to keep his eyes upfield, being able to look for the guy on the crossing pattern underneath. These are things he's got to do a more consistent job of, and so far we haven't seen that. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's trying to get the ball out of his hands quickly because he doesn't want to take some shots. I'm not quite sure, but it's got to change. If he keeps going in the same trajectory as he is right now, there might not be a chance for him to be the Broncos quarterback next year.
Yeah, no, big test. It's the test year, right? And every game presents a unique test, and we'll see. Obviously, that's a big story to pay attention to. How about the COVID-19 situation for the Broncos? The game seems like it's still set to go, but hearing, of course, Graham Glasgow testing positive there this morning.
Yeah, so the Broncos, they were initially, set to practice. They got clearance from the NFL to do practice, but Vic Fangio decided to postpone it till tomorrow. And so I think that overall, when you look at the whole situation, the Chargers themselves had an offensive lineman test positive. He also went on injured reserve. So they did the same thing as well. So everything today operationally is all virtual. The Broncos will be back on the field tomorrow with the light walkthrough before Sunday's game. As of right now, the game is going to be played as scheduled. There's no reconsideration at this point in time. But in terms of that, Graham Glasgow obviously will be out of this matchup. So Austin Schlotman will be slated to get the start there. However, there's an interesting dynamic to that because contact tracing showed that Damar Dotson, the Broncos' right tackle, and Austin Schlotman, those two guys were in proximity of Graham Glasgow. So they will have to test negative tomorrow, and if they do, they'll be able to play on Sunday. But if either of those guys test positive, it's going to shift the Broncos' offensive line a little bit because if Schlotman tests positive, that means the Broncos might have to move Natani Muti over there to the right guard position. You know, a rookie out of the sixth round out of Fresno State, they may not have an option besides to do that. And then if Damar Dotson were unable to go for some reason, it would be Calvin Anderson getting started right tackle. So, the Broncos banking on those two guys testing negative tomorrow. But if that changes, they have contingency plans in place. And hopefully it doesn't come to that. And we obviously wish Graham Glasgow health and wealth and that he can recover quickly and that he and his loved ones are doing okay during this crazy time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. And again, we could have a lot of issues going on with this offensive line. You mentioned it. Got to get the run game going. Find your identity there. Well, that could be severely impacted if some of these tests turn up positive. Well, Cody, what's different then in this situation? Sit here in one player with the Broncos and then a player with the Chargers. With the Patriots situation, I believe we got up to three and ultimately they didn't practice. And I'm guessing that's the main difference, but I know there are Broncos fans that are asking that question. Hey, why is this one not being pushed out or postponed, but that Patriots game was?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the process changes every week. Yeah. When we see this, I kind of lose track on what's the actual rule now. But, for the NFL, I think what they're looking at, too, especially for Denver and for Los Angeles, look, they have no more flexibility to really move games around at this point for these teams. I don't think it's really getting to that point for many other teams as well because the Broncos, they technically already had a bye, even though they never had a bye, unfortunately. The Chargers, they came off of a bye as well, and the Broncos have already had some of their games rescheduled. Obviously, this game for the Chargers was rescheduled. This was supposed to be played, I believe, week 12, if I'm not mistaken, week 12 or week 11, and now it's coming up here now in week 8. So, I don't think they can really logistically move the schedule around too much, so they're looking at every option possible to mitigate the risk of potential spread and an outbreak. So that's why everything's virtual today, and the contact tracing has led to those guys being isolated. So, we even saw this, too, with the Las Vegas Raiders last week with their entire offensive line. I think it's going to be similar for the Denver Broncos, and they're going to get everybody back. More than likely, hopefully tomorrow, they can come off that list. The two players I mentioned with Schlotman, Damar Dotson, those guys can potentially come off that list as well. So, obviously, we're going to be monitoring that situation because, the players, they will be tested again tomorrow. And we're just hoping that there's no more positives overall because this could impact the trajectory of the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no question about it. How about Philip Lindsay? What are we expecting there? Is he going to give it a go on Sunday?
Well, it really depends on if the independent neurologist clears him. I think based on the information we received yesterday, he participated on a limited basis through individual position drills, non-contact, and that's part of his demonstration for concussion protocol and returning from it. Obviously, we were hoping to find out a little bit more today if the Broncos had practice, but it's going to be tomorrow when we likely find out the independent neurologist is going to be able to say, okay, you're good to go. If he's asymptomatic, doesn't show any concussion-based symptom carryover, and is able to do his normal stuff, then they will more than likely clear him for Sunday's game, and he could play. But as of right now, it's still questionable, but I think he's heading in the right direction.
We're talking to Cody Rourke, of course, of Pro Football Network. You broke down. I loved your defensive breakdown from the film from last week against the Chiefs. And really, the defense put on a very impressive performance overall. Talk to us about what that film's showing you, because every single week it seems like this defense is just getting a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, I think it really starts with the coverage. The Broncos have guys that can play man-to-man coverage, and they're also, they have very good disguised blitz packages, and they got guys that can get home at the quarterback. I mean, you got Shelby Harris, who's fighting off and pushing double teams back into the quarterback's pocket there, into his lap, and you got guys like Draymond Jones, who came back from injury, who's also taking advantage of guys, and Malik Reed and Bradley Chubb just wrecking havoc off the edge right now. It's been nice to see for this Broncos front seven. They've been very impactful. And the guys in the back end of that secondary have been very good as well. I mean, Denver in the last 3 weeks, they have 14 sacks in 3 weeks, which Baltimore is only ahead of them. So they're the second-ranked team right now in terms of the most sacks in the last 3 weeks altogether. And they're really getting to the quarterback. They're finding ways to do it. And I'm loving the aggressive approach that we're seeing from Vic Fangio and the Broncos on film, because they're showing different looks. They're showing zone looks, and then they're blitzing. They're showing man looks. They're showing as if they're going a cover one or a cover two man, and then they're dropping a safety down to play robber coverage. So essentially they show a lot of looks with cover one and robber coverage, cover zero. And so they're doing a lot of different things, and it's working out. They got the personnel to do it, and I think it's very surprising considering where we were all at a few weeks ago. But once the Broncos started being more aggressive defensively, they started making more plays, and I think that's exactly what Vic Fangio has found. He's got the guys to be able to do even more than I think he's been able to do in his career as a D coordinator.
So how aggressive will this defense be trying to go after Justin Herbert and maybe upset some of the things he typically likes to do?
Oh, I imagine we're going to see some pressure. You know, here's the deal. Tampa Bay, they sent so much pressure at him, and he was making throws downfield. It's all about ball placement for him. He knows how to stand in the pocket with pressure coming. He's going to take some shots. He's not afraid to take shots. So for Denver, they have to disguise their coverage looks and hopefully try to catch him not looking. Maybe try to get him off of his blind side a little bit, or if he's looking to the left side of the field, maybe get him from the right side. Collapse that pocket on the interior of the defensive line. Send some inside linebackers, blitz off the nickel, and have your safety cover the number two or number three guy. I think Denver can disguise a lot of different coverage looks here. That's going to be the way that they're going to have to do it, though. If you give Justin Herbert a clean pocket all day, he's going to find the soft spots and his athleticism be able to roll out. He's very, very good when throwing on the run. And, you know, I think a lot of people talk about Aaron Rodgers' ability to do that. If you watch Justin Herbert in college, you watch him now. There's a play against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. He rolled out to the right and found Keenan Allen for a touchdown after avoiding pressure. He is very, very good at that. So if he extends plays outside of the pocket, it's going to be, you know, Broncos got to have that coverage dynamic a little bit longer. It's going to be a little scary.
Yeah, no question about it. Have to be ready for that. How about the offensive side for the Broncos? And you said it, you know, they really need to establish that rushing attack, maybe kind of, you know, fall back and not go for the big plays, not go for those home runs as much. But what do you see as some of the critical keys for the Broncos in order to get past that Chargers defense?
Well, this Broncos offense, they're trying to find their identity still. And the identity so far with Drew Lock returning has been aggressive, throw the ball downfield here. But Tim Patrick, you know, is very questionable to play in this game. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. That's why they called up Trinity Benson and Fred Brown from the practice squad as potential protected guys there. They could call him up on game day. They also, you know, are bringing back Kendall Hinton, who is a wide receiver out of Wake Forest, was a quarterback previously as well, was with him during training camp. He's going through COVID protocols right now to be on the practice squad. So the Broncos are looking at wide receiver right now. So I would be surprised if the Broncos' game plan was to come out and just really throw the ball, unless they're, you know, trying to get Noah Fant, Albert Okwuegbunam, and Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, those guys going early on. I think more so the approach is going to be let's run the football, because this Los Angeles Chargers team, they struggle against stopping the run, and they also struggle against stopping the pass. So if you can catch them in opportune situations, get them to focus on stopping the run, and then you hit them with the pass, I think the Broncos will find some balance offensively. So for me, I think this is a perfect game for Denver to try to really hone in on what their offensive identity may be and what it could transform into.
Well, hopefully we get to see the Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon thing kind of go for a full game. We haven't got to see that just yet. But either way, you got to expect that Melvin Gordon's really chomping at the bit in this one. Chargers, he was the forgotten man. Chargers decided to move on. They went with Austin Eckler, local kid. And then obviously Gordon's had a couple of rough weeks. And you got to think that he's really mentally wanting to rise above all of it and see if he can come out with a huge game this weekend.
Yeah, that's his mindset. I mean, he's got a chip on his shoulder coming into this matchup. He said it in the offseason that he felt like they just let him go. You know, they gave up on him, and so for him, he takes it personal. You know, for him too, you know, he's had a rough couple of weeks in terms of some off-the-field stuff, and then obviously, you know, a couple turnovers last week for the Broncos, and he wants to overcome that. You know, I think a lot of people are looking at those mistakes, and you see it on Twitter. People are like, oh, the Broncos need to trade or cut him. No, the Broncos, I think if both he and Lindsay are healthy and they're both able to contribute, they have a very, very strong 1-2 punch. They complement each other really well. And just watching some of the film from last week too, Melvin Gordon, I think, is very good at finding the hole, especially on stretch plays, counter plays, inside zone. The offensive lineman, they're double teaming down on a guy going up to the next level. He understands where that hole is going to be, and he gets upfield. There's been a couple times he's been tackled by a shoestring where I feel like he could break a really long gain. So I think they complement each other really well, and I think the Broncos offensively can have some success if both those guys are on the field and healthy together.
Cody, what are you working on for us that we can check out? Like I said, I was enjoying your film study of Broncos Chiefs from the week. What do you have in store for us that we can check out the next couple of days?
Yeah, so we got the Lockdown Broncos podcast every single day, Monday through Friday, on your favorite podcast provider. Make sure you guys are liking that. Subscribe to that for daily exclusive content on the Denver Broncos. Plus, as Brady had mentioned, the film room that we have on YouTube, the channel is Cody Rourke NFL. We break down Broncos film every single week, the all-22 angle. We see what went right, what went wrong, and, you know, where the Broncos have some strengths. What are they doing? What are the coverage looks on the back end of that secondary? What are the offensive schemes looking like? If you want to learn a little bit more about the game, check out the film reviews on YouTube, Cody Rourke NFL.
Yeah, absolutely love it, my man. Cody, appreciate you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Absolutely, Brady. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Cody Rourke, NFL analyst, Broncos insider, working with the Pro Football Network, and CodyRourkeNFL.com. Check it out. Seriously, you guys should subscribe to his podcast. He lays it out for you. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed in the film study and then watching that play out with the Broncos on their defensive side, this kind of reminds me of, you know, you remember when Wade Phillips was there? I mean, he could get creative or he could just let his athletes play. You know, he had the great corners, then he had the great pass rushers, so he could put his defense in a man, and he trusted those defensive backs. And when you have defensive backs that you trust and can actually get the job done, it opens up so much freedom for you to disguise blitzes, to design unique blitzes too. So I've really noticed that more so this year that you know, Vic Fangio's defense, they're getting to that point where they can play man. They know everybody's assignments. You know, Tyreek Hill, Chiefs were trying to beat the Broncos across. You're trying to go across the field a lot with Tyreek Hill and create mismatches. They did such a good job initially off the line of scrimmage of keeping Tyreek Hill from getting away from them. Safeties would drop down, so Patrick Mahomes would think about going in the middle, and then you'd see that safety drop. So Mahomes would look left, and you know that, you know, either a sack or he's forced to go somewhere he didn't want to. So again, this Broncos defense, they're getting better and better. They're going to rely on them this week, especially if what Cody said, all this contact tracing. With the offensive line, you could have two more guys on that starting line out in this one, and that would put a damper in things offensively. So you're going to be leaning on that defense, no question about it. 37 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll take a look at my favorite games outside of Broncos-Chargers. I still have my keys to the game. Don't go anywhere. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Start your morning off right with your recommended daily intake of news, weather, and traffic to get yourself up and running. Join us Mornings with Gale, 6 to 9, 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Colfax, don't forget your game beer of the week is from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins. It's the Isolation Ale. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. It's open until midnight, or their store lobby is open 9 to 9 p.m. First Advantage text line 31996. Games that I'm excited about outside of Broncos Chargers. Well, I think the number one game on everybody's list is going to be Steelers-Ravens. Steelers are the 6-0 undefeated, the lone wolf now. Ravens 5-1, Last time out, when these two teams faced each other, Lamar Jackson was sacked 5 times. He was able to run for 70 yards, but he was sacked 5 times. Steelers blitz. They blitz 46% of the time, and they are going to be trying to come after Lamar Jackson. How do you do that? How do you mold that a little bit? You know, you're not going to be able to blitz him a lot like you would anybody else. So very curious to see how that works. They are leading the league in rushing yards allowed. The Steelers are allowing just under 70 yards per game. So we'll see. The Steelers are climbing the charts as a lot of people's Super Bowl pick to go on to represent the AFC. This is going to be a huge test coming up. How will they work with Lamar Jackson? I mean, this is good. Look at that. 46% of the time this season they blitz. That's their highest rate since Mike Tomlin took over back in 2007. So we'll see. I'm excited for this one. That game's going to be a lot of fun. All right, the other game that I'm looking at. How about the Raiders-Browns? I think that one's interesting. You know, the Browns come up with a big win when they needed it a week ago late. The Raiders are sitting at 3-3. They're trying to keep pace somehow, some way with the Kansas City Chiefs. But now you got Odell Beckham Jr. out for the Browns. How will they respond now out for the season? He was leading the team in targets. Baker Mayfield's going to have to start filling it with other guys. Maybe CSU's Rashard Higgins. Give the Rams fans some much-needed good news. But you got to look on the defensive side for the Browns. Myles Garrett, who was the AFC Defensive Player of the Month, is playing out of his mind. But you got Trent Brown back. So it should be a fun matchup right there. I'm really looking forward to that one. How about the 49ers and Seahawks? 49ers quietly putting together an okay season. They're sitting at 4-3. Seahawks are 5-1. Yeah, you guessed it. This is going to be a lot of offense. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Seahawks are down maybe their top three running backs. A lot of injuries in this one. So you might be going Russell Wilson and getting his receivers going at it. Their defense is okay against the run. They're terrible against the pass. And they're going to be even worse because they're probably going to be without Jamal Adams. So look out. And then on the 49ers side of things, George Kittle, probably going to have a huge game in this one. If you're a fantasy football kind of guy, I would play any 49ers offensive players, any offensive starters if you have the chance. But let's see. How about this? Jimmy Garoppolo has the third shortest average pass distance, 6.5 air yards, and the fifth worst interception rate of 3% since the start of last season, including the playoffs. He's the only quarterback to rank in the bottom of those five of those categories. Yet, 49ers are 4-3. They're finding a way to get it done. But those are my games outside of Broncos Chargers. Really excited for that Steelers Ravens game. I think the Raiders Browns game, just because it's a very interesting point for both of those teams. And then, of course, 49ers Seahawks should be a lot of fun. All right, Colfax, when we come back, I'm going to bust into my three keys to victory for the Denver Broncos, getting set to go against the Los Angeles Chargers, trying to salvage the season. Can it happen on Sunday? We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. NoCo now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ryan Konigsberg, Broncos beat writer for BSN Denver, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about relentless football. Ain't a thing about to touch the football. They get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. 1, 2, 3.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play.
Thank you for answering the prayers that I've stolen.
Where are we at?
What about this time? What about this crime? Let's get the ball rolling.
You're the best in the United States of America tonight.
You'll get our whole team's best, and it starts with me. They'll get my best this week. This is the way I'm feeling.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Come on, keep dancing. Right there, I'm going to keep dancing. That's it, man. And that's as good as it gets. What is that, Troop?
The champ is out! Hey,
one last time.
So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please.
Okay, Colfax. We got to do our keys to the game. We did our keys to the game for the Rams yesterday, and hey, they kind of accomplished one of them. Trey McBride, he had a huge game. They didn't accomplish all three. I don't just say these; aren't just random things. If the team that I'm talking about, Colfax, and in this case it's the Broncos, if they accomplish all three of my keys to the game, there's no way they're going to lose. And what did the Rams do? They accomplished one of the three. That's not going to get it done, Colfax. You know, it's just not. So in this case, we take a look at the Broncos. Before we do that, I do want to mention Colorado head coach Carl Durrell announced this morning that senior Sam Noyer will be the Buffalo's starting quarterback. He's the guy that, he was a safety. He's going from the safety position to the quarterback position. So very interesting note there. Mark Johnson told us that the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes had mentioned that as well. All right, my keys to victory. First off, listen, this is no secret. I don't care if they get the run game going or not. Drew Lock has to be better. He has to be careful with football. This is a huge test. We're talking about, looking at the situation with Herbert, Justin Herbert. What a matchup this is. Justin Herbert is the guy. There's no doubt right now for Chargers. This is Drew Lock's opportunity to silence his critics. He didn't like it. He doesn't like the criticism. He likes the spotlight, but he's not crazy about the criticism. Well, you got to go out and you got to be better. I know it's cliche to say it, but take what the defense gives you. You can't go deep. You can't go for the home run. So that's going to be on Drew Lock. That's going to be on Pat Shurmur and the discussions that they've had about just settling down and working through your progressions. You don't have to go for the home run. And when you do, make sure you're accurate. So, I mean, a lot's going to go with Drew Lock. I don't need 300 yards from Drew Lock. What I need are completions. I want to see completions. I want to see advancing the ball downfield. On the defensive side, they're going to blitz. This team is going to come after him, but somehow, some way, the rookie quarterback handles the blitz extremely well, Colfax. He has had 72% completion percentage against three of the top 10 defenses and five touchdowns against the top three defenses in the NFL. This guy, he doesn't shake. He doesn't shake. He keeps rolling. So you can blitz. But this is where Michael Ojemudia, the rookie's going to be tested. Bryce Callahan, A.J. Boye, you have to be able to cover. Because if you can't get him initially on that sack, look out if you can't get that pressure there. Number three, Melvin Gordon, obviously no fumbles. He's hard on it. He's hard on himself. I want to see him be special. I hope Lindsey's there, but I need to see Melvin Gordon produce. I think this team needs to see it to thrive. So there you go. Drew Lock, blitz, but be smart about it and be damn good in coverage, and Melvin Gordon. That's going to do it for us. Let's see what happens this weekend. Should be a fun, fun weekend of football. Happy Halloween. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Team 10, KFKA.